most gracious Lord, how tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Then we'll go right into the second verse and all that, okay? All right, I got to get rid of all the...
I do believe that our worship team has led us well in worship. Amen. Thank you all. Well, church, my head is full and my heart is full as well today. Overcome with what this past week has been. Overcome with emotion as we're getting off a high from that worshipful music moment. And so today, before we get into today or the plan I've got for us for next week, let's hear the words of Psalm chapter 23. David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." This is God's word. Today, I want to explain, before we get into the spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude, today I want to explain what next Sunday will look like, a day that will be a day of fasting and prayer at Fairlawn. And I'll admit that this past week has sure been enlightening. Numerous people have told me since last week that until last Sunday morning, they had never heard a sermon on fasting. Last week, I had somebody who's retired tell me that they have never intentionally fasted. And I know that for many of us, intentional fasting is intimidating, and we will resist it as much as possible. In fact, I'm very certain that there's plenty of us sitting here right now thinking, "I ain't doing it. That's for other people. That's for the spiritual people. That's for the Sunday night crowd. That's for the Wednesday night prayer meeting people, because those people are up here and I'm right here." And if that's you and if similar thoughts have run through your head, can I just say quickly, eliminate those thoughts and resist those temptations to think such things. In your pew right in front of you, you've got a sheet that looks somewhat like this. Take that, grab that. That's right in front of you where the hymnals are, or at least where the hymnals used to be. What is a hymnal? Just kidding. But anyway, go ahead and grab this, and I want us to quickly look at this. Again, if you think that intentional fasting is just for quote-unquote spiritual giants, stop. As I alluded to last week, one of my biggest events for decades was getting 12 to 18-year-olds to fast for 30 hours. I'm asking Fairlawn for 12, okay? Now listen carefully, church. I firmly believe that if we approach next Sunday with an open mind and a spirit of humility and sacrifice, then God can teach us wonderful things. He can grow us and He can stretch us, and this will be an experience that for the future will not be an intimidating experience. If you are physically able, I'm asking you to please participate in next Sunday's day of fasting and prayer. On that handout that you will hold in your hand, you'll see that there are times from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm calling on a 12-hour fast for our church for the purpose of praying, and praying along these specific lines. Now, again, if you are physically able, please participate. Somebody met me this morning and said, "I heard that we are fasting next week. I have to take medicine in the morning and at night with a meal. Is it okay if I just do lunch?" And of course it is. Okay, I'm not going to be hovering over your shoulder, and you know, you're not going to get some like Holy Spirit gut punch, okay? You're not a chicken if you don't do it. You're not a hero if you do it, okay? Again, this is between you and the Holy Spirit, okay? So unless medically hindered or unless you're physically unable, participate. Now, on that handout, you'll notice from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., I want us to privately pray 10 prayers on our own time. I know that we will be here for some of these. I've just kind of put these as somewhere this hour, pray these things. Now, if you were here back in May, I showed us a way in which we can better pray or a different method to pray, and that is using the acronym TACOS. So leave it to me to use a food reference for prayer. I know. Now, y'all, this morning, I'm not making this up if I tried, I've had 2 donuts for breakfast. The life group I visited this morning, as soon as I walked through the door, I got handed a piece of apple pie, okay? I've had donuts and pie for breakfast, okay? So, tacos. You will see these listed as thanksgiving, adoration, confession. We pray for others, and we pray for supplication. Just a big word in which we're asking God to supply our needs. Now, you'll see a different prayer theme and a different scripture every hour so that you know how best to pray. So if you say, I don't know what to pray, how to pray, well, right here you have it. Okay, and if the people on your pew row are hogging all these, I've got 50 extras down front and we have 50 extras on the Welcome Center. If you don't walk out of here with one of these today, that's on you. Okay, next Sunday evening, you'll notice that at 6 o'clock, I want you to join me right here in this room. We'll begin right here in the worship center in the sanctuary, and we're going to take a prayer walk in and around our grounds. We're going to stop by many different preschool rooms, life group rooms. We'll only stop at the bathroom if necessary. We're going to stop at our children's classes. We're going to go outside to our youth house. And we're going to stop and pause and pray for very specific people, classes, and it's fitting that we begin in here and pray that God would convict souls and that people would come to trust the Lord Jesus and that we can see many baptisms in this pool behind me. Amen? Please join me. During the worship service next Sunday, here's what that will look like. We will do what we always do. We will read and pray and give and sing, but mostly we will read and pray. And so this week, I'm going to be asking specific people if you will take part in our worship service by coming on stage and reading a pre-selected passage that I've already picked out, not one of them that's on the paper, but to come up and read a passage and to pray. If I call on you, will you please come up here? I won't hold a gun to your head or anything like that, but know that I've prayed very specifically for you. And again, hoping that you'll be here next Sunday, I sure hope you do say yes. I am really looking forward to next Sunday. I know that this is going to be different. I know that this is going to be, for some of you, this will be very easy. Some of you could go all day without eating, and it's no big deal for you. My best advice would be this. If you're going to participate, and I hope you do, eat a big breakfast, and then you're good. Celebrate at 8 o'clock or whenever Sunday night football comes on and pig out, okay? Now, this is a big deal for me because Sunday football starts next Sunday, and the Pittsburgh Steelers' first game is Sunday at 1 o'clock, and I like to pig out when I watch football. We have a spread Kristen will cook up or make for us, and I'm just going to have a big cup of water, okay? But we're also going to stop during the game and pray for these specific things, for our church and for us and for other people too. Again, I hope you join me. I'll be looking forward to it. Take one of these, put it in a place where you're going to see it, magnetize it to your fridge, stick it in your bathroom mirror, your bedroom mirror, put it in your car, wherever is a most visible place to you, stick it there. All right, church, today we are talking about the spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude. And before we look over the many different valuable reasons for these practices and disciplines, let's define our terms quickly. The discipline of silence is the voluntary and temporary abstaining from speaking so that we may grow closer to our Lord. Sometimes silence is observed so that we can read or write or pray or worship God as we are in nature. Somebody very recently just told me that, maybe the biggest reason why they love hunting season is because they're just in the woods, in nature, worshiping God and His creation, and thanking God for His provisions as they kill one with their bow. Hashtag get in my freezer, okay? There's plenty of occasions that silence can be used for our benefit. Even though we are not outwardly speaking, we can have internal dialogues with God and ourselves. So I do not mean that the only folks who talk to themselves are bipolar or split personality or just weird. I don't mean that at all. Some people just have to audibly get things out as they process, but that's not what is meant here. I have dialogue within myself, within my spirit. David did this in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. We can call it processing or brainstorming or gathering ideas, but most surely you do this with yourself. The discipline of solitude is voluntarily withdrawing to privacy for spiritual purposes. Now, this is not like on the episode of Bluey, where Bluey's mom says, "Kids, I need 20 minutes to be alone." To be sure, those times are necessary. But Bluey's mom was not going away and tucking herself away and reading her Bible and praying and practicing spiritual disciplines. Silence and solitude are complementary disciplines. Usually, one accompanies the other. They can be distinguished, but we'll think more along the lines of viewing them together. We may call this quietly retreating. Silence and solitude does not fit our 21st century world. Now, those two words better fit in an era that describes lighting your homes with kerosene lamps. Little House on the Prairie days. Days when there was no indoor plumbing. The days when Rick Morgan was a kid. The Dark Ages. I can tease Rick, and I'm sure he'll tease me the next time he's up here. But our culture and the people of our day really struggle with silence and solitude. You know, in an age in which you can be totally isolated and alone in your home, you can actively be connected to people all around the world, in India and Indonesia and Afghanistan and Pakistan and everywhere in between. When you're at an airport or on an airplane, just look around and see how many people have in earphones or earbuds. Now, they're not plugging their ears for silence. They're listening to music or podcasts or Netflix. And I confess that sometimes silence can be hard to come by at our house. That is why Kristen has made quiet time a big deal at our house. Grab a book or grab a pile of books and go downstairs for 15 minutes. And it's not just to get the kids out of our hair. This is time in which mommy is going to read or journal or pray. So please get downstairs. She instills how important that is to them. And they know when it's quiet time, it really is time to be quiet. And when it's unusually quiet, we think that something's wrong. I mean, when it's like hush, still, quiet at our house for more than 5 minutes, I think that my youngest son has grabbed a Sharpie and he's just coloring the walls. I instantly have to go find where that three-year-old is. I see head nods. I see, yeah, y'all's the youngest kids too. I'm sure that there's something wrong when it's still hush quiet. A few weeks ago, the electricity went out in our house in the middle of the night, probably in the early hours of the morning. We sleep with a sound machine, thanks to my lovely wife. The air conditioning was off, the sound machine was off, and I just kind of woke up in a panic, like, you know, you can hear a pin drop on carpet. Something's wrong. Well, since we don't have electricity, there's only one solution as to what we're going to do for breakfast. We're going to get donuts, baby. Now, again, hear my heart and read my mind. When it comes to fasting, it's hard for me, y'all. It's hard for me, y'all. So if it's hard for you, know that it is for me too. Now, when our lives are silent, though, it doesn't mean necessarily that anything is wrong. In fact, it's good to be alone. Not good to be alone for extended periods of time, and it's never good to live your life in complete isolation. I mean, there's a reason why solitary confinement is the worst of punishment, even in a jail. But taking small periods of time to intentionally get away for the purpose of getting with God is vitally important. Now, these are difficult disciplines, but they are disciplines worth our pursuit. So here are the valuable reasons as to why we should practice silence and solitude. Number one is that we can follow Jesus' example when we practice silence and solitude. At least five times in the Gospels, it's recorded that Jesus was alone with God. Now, I'm sure that there were certainly more times he got alone with the Father but that, but we've got at least five records in the Gospels. If Jesus, the Lord and Savior, needed silence and solitude, so should we. And here are just a few examples. Matthew 14:23. After dismissing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was alone there. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he got up, went out, and made his way to a deserted place, and there he was praying. Luke 4:42. When it was day, he went out and made his way to a deserted place, but the crowds were searching for him. They came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Jesus sent the crowds and his own disciples away so that he could be alone with the Father. Sometimes you do need to send the kids away. Sometimes you do need a quiet retreat alone with your Father in heaven. And Don Whitney explains it this way. He says, put yourself in Jesus' shoes for a moment. People are desperately desiring your help. Many people have very real needs that need to be met, and Jesus is able to meet all of those needs. We, too, love to feel wanted. We love the sense of power, importance, and value. We love when people value our opinion or desire our company. We love the feeling it gives us knowing when we are able to meet someone else's needs. And so can you imagine being Jesus and turning opportunities down? Jesus did not succumb to those temptations because he knew the importance of disciplining himself to be alone. That at that given time, it was more important to be alone with the Father than even meeting other people's needs. We too can model our lives after Jesus in that way. The second valuable reason is this. We can hear God's voice better. We should intentionally withdraw from human voices and earthly noise so that we can better hear the voice from heaven. In the Bible, Elijah and the Apostle Paul did this so that they could be alone with God. But one quick caveat I will say, it's not necessary to get far away from noise and people in order to hear God speak. But there are times when eliminating the voices of the world will help us to hear the voice of God better. According to Jonathan Edwards, the great 18th century preacher, silence and solitude was part of his wife Sarah's godliness. And in his first account of his future wife, Edwards wrote this about Sarah while she was still a teenager. He said, "She hardly cares for anything except to meditate on God. She loves to be alone, walking in the fields and groves, and seems to have someone invisible always conversing with her." Sarah Edwards may have had fields and groves, but you have a downstairs, or an upstairs, or a home office, or your back porch. You have a city park or a city block. Some of you have acres of land that you can retreat to at any time. And so whatever that place may be for you, you need to find a place to be alone to hear the voice of God better. A God whose presence is unseen, but it's more real than any other. Perhaps we need to realize that we are quite addicted to noise. Now, I'll confess that I can be sometimes. I've almost always got some kind of music, podcast, beats, a white noise machine. You know, you walk into the kitchen, "Alexa, play Divine Sound Radio." Now, hopefully I didn't activate anybody's Google device here, but you hear what I'm saying. I mean, silence just feels so unordinary and so weird for us. But may we practice some silence to get alone with our God. Number three, we can express worship to God. Generally, in a church service, we call the time when we sing the music worship. We call this space right here, the 10:30 to 11:30 time, or noon if Rick's preaching, we call that a worship service. Man, I'm really going to hear about it today. But we call these things worship, and we call these a worship service, but it's hardly ever actually quiet in here. Worshiping God does not always require words or sounds or actions. Sometimes worshiping God can be accomplished through stillness. Remember the psalmist when he wrote Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." There are times simply to behold God and adore Him in silence. Worshiping God in silence may occur because your heart is so full that words cannot express your love for Him. And so Whitney says there are other times that you may feel just the opposite, so passionless that words seem hypocritical. But regardless of your emotions, there is always a place for wordless worship. And so we remember the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, when he said this: "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." And thank God He does. Now, sometimes we just don't know what to pray, how to pray, and when our hearts are heavy and our minds are full, we can still worship God without words, knowing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to the Father for us. I'll clue you in, not to get you to stare at me next week. But while the worship music was going earlier, and while we were singing, some of these lyrics just caused me to stop singing and start praying, to close my eyes and not read and sing along with the words on the screen. But when I say your grace is enough, I paused and I prayed, "God, remind me that your grace is enough. Remind me, Lord, I need this reminder." And so unless you were on the second row, you probably may not have seen my eyes closed and me murmuring words that were not the lyrics to the song. You too can do that, just being still and silent before the Lord, not even audibly expressing our thoughts and prayers, but coming to Him silently. It's biblical. The fourth valuable reason for silence and solitude is this: we can express our faith in God. We can demonstrate our faith in God by coming to Him in silence instead of word vomiting in prayer. Now, again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you should not ever pray out loud or that you should pray aloud less. What I am saying is that it's common to silently pray. We do this often at church. We do this when other people come and lead us in prayer. Usually one person leads in prayer and the 200 or 300 silently pray with them. Twice in the same psalm, David admitted the need for resting in silence. In Psalm 62, David writes this, and I love the way the ESV translates these verses: "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken." The church, through silent reflection and prayer, we can truly express our faith in God. And the fifth valuable reason for silence and solitude is that we can be physically and spiritually restored. Everyone has a regular need for restoring their inward and outward person. This was true even for Jesus' own disciples. The Gospels tell it like this: after spending themselves in several days of both physical and spiritual output. Now, here's what the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 says. Mark 6, 30 to 31. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while. For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Again, hear me well. The disciples didn't have time to eat, but they did have time to rest and get away to a quiet place. If you're taking notes, write this down. Sometimes the most spiritual thing that you can do is to take a nap. Just take a nap. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, teenagers, we've got this down. Sometimes the best thing that you can do in your life and for the sake of others around you is to take a nap. I really mean that. Your body and your mind need rest. For some of us, it's very hard to slow down and sit still. But you need that, and other people need that too. Number six, another reason for silence and solitude, we can regain a spiritual perspective. Using Luke chapter 1 and the Christmas story before Jesus was born, Whitney explains how these disciplines were used unintentionally in the birth account of John the Baptist. When Zechariah was told by the angel Gabriel that he and his elderly wife would miraculously have a son, he doubted. And so in response, Gabriel said, "Now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." And because his family members made signs to him, Zechariah was probably deaf and mute when his baby was born. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John," after his mother said, "He will be named John." And immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and then he spoke, blessing God. And there was astonishment there because his mother named him John, not Zechariah, because it was typical to name your child after the father. But because his family made signs, this indicated that he couldn't hear Elizabeth name him either. And so when they both came to the same name, the community recognized the miracles that were taking place and were amazed. And this came about because someone was silenced. This came about because someone, Zechariah, spent some alone time with God. Now, this is descriptive, not prescriptive, but I believe that wonderful things can and will happen when we are quiet before our Lord. Now, the seventh reason is this: we can seek God's will. When you need to seek God's will and direction about a purpose in a matter, spend some time in silence and solitude. Take a walk, get away, hide away, take a hike, take a run. Ask the Spirit to illuminate what needs to be said or what needs to be done. And so Whitney infers that Jesus did this in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, when he sought silence and solitude before he decided which of the disciples would be the ones traveling with him. During those days, he went out to the mountain to pray and spent all night in prayer to God. When daylight came, he summoned his disciples and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Yes, I know that the Lord Jesus is all-knowing, but he had a brain and he made decisions just like you and I. And so when we need to make difficult decisions, it may be best for us to seclude, to get away, and to pray. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. Eighth and finally, perhaps one of the very best reasons for silence and solitude is so that we can control our tongue. And the church said amen. Learning to keep silent for periods of time can help us control our tongue. I'm going to make a big deal about this at our Bible study at 6 o'clock in this room. I hope you'll join me tonight. But let me say this. Learning to control our tongue is critical to Christ-likeness. The Bible says that the religion of the person with no tongue control is worthless. James says this in James chapter 1. It is so important to practice these disciplines so that we can grow closer to our Lord Jesus. Having a devotional habit to our Lord will further our Christ-likeness. And this is not easy to develop because we live busy lives and we have an enemy who wants to steal and kill and destroy our lives. But missionary Jim Elliot knew this full well. When it comes to silence and solitude, he said this: "The devil has made it his business to monopolize on three elements, noise, hurry, and crowds. Satan is quite aware of the power of silence." And Jim Elliot's right. Our days are usually filled with more than enough noise and hurry and demanding people. So unless we intentionally plan for alone times with our God, then we probably won't have them. So plan. Get away. Put your phone face down and put it away and spend time with our Lord. And that's what I'm going to call us to right now. Pastor Mark and I will be standing at the front row. We'll not stand in front of the altar steps because this moment I want us to pray for today in a moment of silence and solitude, and to perhaps come and pray, expecting God to do great things in us, through us, and for us for next week, for next Sunday's day of fasting and prayer. Church, will you stand as we enter into this time of both worship and silence and solitude? Father, I pray that right now as we get ready to enter into this time that you will convict our hearts and perhaps change our mind, if not already changed, that, Lord, we just need to be silent and still before you. And this is tough. This is difficult for us to practice. But, Father, this is why we call upon your Holy Spirit to help us pursue these disciplines. Father, if someone needs to come and speak with Mark and I privately, may they do so. But may we also, as a church body, whether we express it by coming forward or whether we do it in the quietness of our pew, may we humble ourselves praying to you, asking you to do great things in us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will. Thy promise is so rich in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to
been a great day. Amen. Amen. I'm going to guard my tongue because I could like be getting even right now, couldn't I? But I'm going to guard my tongue. You can use me as an example tonight.
You're using so much discipline right now.
It's what's it's a, up?
The spiritual discipline of
I'm
silence.
I'm telling you, man. I'm listening to you. Y'all going to say that's a miracle right there, right? So,
oh,
no. That just scared the ever-living snot out of me, which is actually what I'm trying to get rid of, right? So anyway, hey, listen, come back tonight. I think it's going to be a special time, but then this week, be in prayer about what we're going to do next week, and be in prayer for those services. You know, all joking aside and everything, this has been a great series that we've been on, and there's been a lot that we've learned through it. I know that I have. So anyway, just be in prayer for that, okay? We got lots going on between different folks still being sick and all that and everything, so remember those folks. We're going to pray. We're going to sing you out, and have a great week. Once again, hope to see you back this evening. And don't forget, there's kids' mission back there. Youth are meeting tonight. Don't forget the meeting right after the service for Awana. Like I said, if you're interested in helping and weren't here last week, Zach just needs to touch base with you real quick, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for these times when we can get away. Father, whether it be totally away or, Father, whether it just be being able to sit down in silence and, Father, just at times just trying to see what you are doing and, Father, how you are wanting to work in our lives. Father, help us to realize the times that we need to do that so that we can be better vessels for you. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for decisions that were made today, whether they were up front or whether they were in the pew. Father, we thank you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. We pray for the week ahead. Use us in a mighty way, and may we give you all the glory in it. We ask these things in your name. Amen.